Welcome to wherever you are. I'm Ryan McNeil in Toronto, and this is episode 2 of Wicked Little Town, my audio dispatches of the matinee cast from the 36th annual Toronto International Film Festival. That's happening right now in my hometown. I am standing in Metro Hall, which is kind of right in the middle of everything. There's the Princess of Wales Theater to our right. We just came from the Lightbox, which is just around the corner. And behind us, actually right outside the windows, we can see the gathering storm of a gala at Roy Thomson Hall. And my guest today in part 2 is Corey Attad. He writes a website called Just Attad. What is the actual URL?
Justatad.wordpress.com.
There you go. And he's all. You may very well, if you're a film spotting listener, you may have heard his name. He's in real good with Adam and Maddie.
Yeah.
A little too good, maybe.
They're not promising to adopt you or anything.
No. Probably not.
We've just come out of Steve McQueen's follow-up film to Hunger called Shame, and this stars Michael Fassbender and Carey Mulligan, and it's, long story short, it's a story about Fassbender's character. His name is Brandon, and while he works a very successful job and has a, you know, pretty neat little life for himself, he's quietly a sexual addict, and we basically just follow him around for 90 minutes or so. We were both just saying, it's really hard to think about what you figure about this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was, first of all, it's Steve McQueen who did Hunger. Not as good as Hunger, I would say. Like, definitively.
I actually haven't seen Hunger, so this was my baptism.
Very different type of movie, too. Hunger is like art installation, almost. I had a bit of a problem with this one in terms of just the way that it depicted its characters felt, like, really forced. Okay. Like, he was trying so hard to say something interesting when not much interesting is actually happening. Now, that wasn't the whole movie. That, like, I felt it was just in places I got that feeling. But, you know, what'd you think?
Overall, I think I really liked it. I'm starting to believe that there was a group of about 8 or 9 of us in the row there that went
something
and saw this together.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think I was the only person in the row who liked it.
Yeah, maybe.
Not to call out our friends or anything like that.
No, I think I was more positive than some of the people, but yeah, I mean, even I had some issues with it. There were some really great moments, but, like, for example, there was one scene, and Steve McQueen talked about it in the Q&A, where Carey Mulligan does, like, a blues version of New York, New York.
Yeah, which is an incredible scene. No?
Yeah, I mean, went on too long. Like, you know, she started singing and she was doing it really slow, and I was like, ooh, okay, maybe they're gonna cut this song down a little. No, she did the whole song, and it took like at least 5 minutes to go through the whole song, and I didn't need it. Like, you know, I got the emotions there, the acting was great, the singing was actually really good.
Yeah.
But just it felt really indulgent.
Interesting.
To me. Yeah.
Now, let's talk about Carey Mulligan for a second here, because she's playing a little bit more raw of a character than we've seen her. Like, so far, we've really, really seen her play the doughy-eyed, milky-skinned ingenue. Here, she's not exactly a manic pixie dream girl, but she's somebody who actually just seems very messed up. Like, the first time you hear her voice on a voicemail, you can tell that she's not quite right. And it's not something that we're really used to seeing out of her.
Right.
I think she handled that.
I actually thought she was really good. I thought the acting was great. It was interesting. You say manic pixie dream girl, which is funny because I thought of that too, except that I figure, like, that's what would happen to a manic pixie dream girl, you know, after high school and maybe college when, you know, it's like, she starts to get really messed up and her life is just no good.
When they don't have any more money to spend on records
or something. Yeah, and they're not, you know, and it just becomes sex. And it's like, like I said, I thought the acting was really good. She was great. Michael Fassbender, great. But he's always great.
Yeah, we should say, we do see a lot of the Schwanzbender in this
yeah,
film.
Yeah, there's a lot of penis.
There is a lot of penis. There's a lot of sex, period. The one thing I'm really curious about is how this is going to play when it hits regular theaters, because they're going to have to cut out something. There's no way this is going to... Really?
I don't think they're going to cut out anything.
Not that any of it bothered me, but I see censors having a problem with it.
I know Fox Searchlight bought it, and they clearly know that it's going to get an NC-17 rating. So I can't imagine they would have bought it without knowing that that's what they were going to have to do. Because Steve McQueen doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would sell it with the idea that they would cut out scenes.
He doesn't, you know? Now after that Q&A, he doesn't seem like he's going to touch this movie.
No.
That was
an interesting Q&A.
Yeah, he's the kind of artist who doesn't really want to... He doesn't really want to answer questions, it would seem, actually. If you want to talk about his work, you're talking about it on his terms.
Right.
Which, you know, he's a director, he's an artist, that's his right, but wow, that was one very interesting Q&A.
Yeah, it was, yeah, he was, I don't want to call him a dick, but there were some moments where he was kind of,
dickish.
You know, dickish, and there were a couple points where he was definitely kind of being a little pretentious.
Yeah, like I dared to ask him about a long take, and it was just, yeah, we shot it. We just put a camera on a truck and got him to go, and that was it. I'm thinking, how many takes? Did you have to clear the street?
Yeah.
Was it anything to it? Like, was he going too fast, too slow?
No.
Just, we put the camera on the truck and told him to run.
He was not having
Thanks,
any of that.
Steve.
He was way more into talking about, like, the meaning behind the art. Like, I was thinking, just because I read some interview with Steven Spielberg recently, and I was thinking about how Spielberg doesn't do, like, commentaries
yeah.
right? And I was thinking, like, man, Steve McQueen must love doing commentaries, because, like, you know, it was exactly what Steven Spielberg talks about not wanting to do, which is defining what he was trying to say. And I was like, all right, I got you, Steve, but it's not, I don't know. I got what he was trying to go for with this movie. You know, it's called Shame, and it really is about people who are dealing with shame. I thought it was actually quite interesting in terms of, like, there's this whole issue with his apartment and how he seems to not want to let people really into his life and into his apartment beyond just in the bedroom, right?
Right.
Which is, like, you know, he treats his sister pretty badly at a couple points purely because it's like she's invading his personal space.
Yeah.
And I thought that that kind of stuff was really interesting. And so, I wouldn't say the film is, like, bad or anything. But just there was different points where the movie sort of lost me.
Well, there's things that I would love to have explored more, like... Sissy and Brendan, that's the Fassbender character, and the
Carey Mulligan
character, they have a very, very strange relationship for brother and sister.
Yes.
Like, when we first
weirdly
found out,
open.
No kidding. I thought that we were going to find out that was actually a lie, because they have the strange...
Either that or it was just pure incest. Like,
yeah,
I was
waiting for that, too.
It was...
both of them, like we said, they both bring in A-game performances, and... You know, just if this kind of, this audience, they were sort of lukewarm on it at best, I'd say.
Yeah, it felt like, yeah.
And if a TIFF audience is lukewarm, I don't know how this is going to play when everybody who gets to see it will see it.
Right. Then again, it might have been lukewarm just because of expectations, right?
That's true, too.
So.
We might just have wanted more out of it.
Yeah.
Well, Corey, you now get the five questions, and I will make apologies because I'd be willing to bet $5 that Corey's never actually listened to one of my podcasts.
No, I have not.
Nice to meet a fan. So we usually begin the show with a five-question survey to get some to know my guests. During TIFF, I end the show with a five-question survey, and it's TIFF-centric. Now, they're pretty easy, but you might have to fumble for a thought or two. So the first question is, can you remember what was your first TIFF film?
Yeah, it was Juno.
It was Juno?
Yeah.
Just 3 years ago?
2007.
Okay, and were you at the premiere?
No, I was at the second screening, although they still had, like, half the cast was there, and
Jason Reitman. And so that was your entry. What'd you think? Like, that was your first whole experience. Do you have any memories of that?
Yeah, I mean, that was an amazing screening, partly because I didn't really know what the movie was going into it. Like, I didn't even look at who the director was, to
right.
be honest.
Right.
I noticed after, I was like, oh, Jason Bateman is in this. Cool. All right. But yeah, it was one of those weird things where I went to this movie not knowing what to expect, and I was like, whoa, that was really good.
Funny thing, too, because I was at the premiere just a few nights before your show, and I really get the feeling that the way we experienced the movie was very, very different than the way a lot of other people experienced the movie, because a lot of hype came out of Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, it's inevitable. It's that backlash. The next year, I saw Slumdog Millionaire, which was another weird case of, like, I knew Danny Boyle directed it. I thought that it was set in England. I was like, you know, he's a British director. Turns out, you know, completely different from what I expected and totally awesome.
Yeah.
And then afterward, there was, you know, the backlash.
Yeah, yeah. Strange little phenomenon.
Yeah.
Besides Shame, what was the last TIFF film you watched?
Well, I mean, directly before Shame, I watched The Story of Film.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, tell people about that, because that's happening.
So it's a 15-hour, 15-part, like, I guess it's made for TV, but it's a documentary series, The Story of Film, and Odyssey.
And it takes, and it's a 15-hour...
15-hour, so they're doing it in parts over the week, and then they're doing it, I think, in two parts, which will be crazy on the weekend. Yeah, and that's really good so far. I thought today's was, like, not as good as yesterday's, which... dealt with silent film. Today was like classical Hollywood, like, you know, 40s and 50s.
Okay.
I felt like it could have gone even more into it, but I don't know, maybe that'll be the next episode.
And you're hoping to keep up with this, like, through the week? Like,
yeah, I'm gonna try, and if not, I'm definitely gonna catch the rest on TV. Also, what's nice is that it's free screening, so.
Yeah, which is very cool.
Yes.
What is the worst film you've ever seen at TIFF?
Bitch Slap.
What is that?
Did you not see
that?
Okay, that was at 2009 at Midnight Madness. And I...
you know what amuses me? Just before you complete that thought, you pulled that answer out real quick. Please go on.
It was... No, that... I mean, look, I saw some bad ones here. Like, Twixt was pretty bad.
I've already reamed you out for that.
Yeah, but like, man, Bitch Slap. Because, like, you know, you hear Midnight Madness, a movie called Bitch Slap. The picture for it was, like, girls with huge boobs and, like, guns and stuff. And I'm like, this movie's going to be awesome.
Of course.
And it was just the worst. Like, tons of stuff just shot on, like, bad green screen with CGI in the background.
Oh,
and, like,
man.
no nudity. Which, you know, I don't want to sound shallow, but, like, come on. It's called Bitch Slap. It's playing Midnight Madness. Seriously. Just awful.
Oh,
so bad.
What's a film that screened at TIFF that you would wish that you'd been a part of?
That screened at TIFF that I wish I know, from this year, The Artist.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because I missed both screenings of that, and, I mean, I know it's coming out soon, but just from the crowd response that I've heard, like, around town, it sounds like that was just incredible.
And I say this every time, like, the long and short of it is that you can't predict these kinds of things. You might see something in the book and in the website or in a trailer.
Right.
It looks just okay, and then it plays, and for whatever reason, it catches people's imagination.
Well, I mean, I knew about The Artist. I just couldn't get a ticket to it. And, yeah, apparently it's even better than I'd heard, so.
Last but not least, in the few years you've been going, what's been your favorite TIFF experience so far?
The favorite TIFF experience... probably the screening for The Loved Ones at Midnight Madness back in 2009. Amazing horror movie, first of all. It hasn't been released. Hopefully it does soon. But that was just one of those cases where, like, I should not have gone to that screening because I had seen five movies already that day. And
wow.
I had three movies the next morning at 8 a.m. or 8:30 or something. And I was like... I should not be staying for this, but I heard from Adam from Film Spotting, mentioned he saw it at a press screening, said it was really good. It's like, fine, I'm going to go see it. The house, you know, it's at the Ryerson. Balcony was closed off because they didn't sell enough tickets. But it just rocked that crowd so hard. Like, that was crazy good movie.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because a lot of times the best crowd experiences you hear coming out of this film festival are the Midnight Madness. So
right, exactly.
For anybody who's listening, who's thinking about, you know, if you're looking at films for this year or certainly next year,
Midnight Madness, don't discount
Midnight Madness, but try to see one or two
definitely.
At midnight because the crowd is just
And if you can find ones that look like they're horror comedies or something that will really get the crowd going, those are the ones you want to see.
Because,
like, I wouldn't say Loved Ones is the best movie I've ever seen at TIFF necessarily,
but
it's just the experience of it.
It was so great.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you are going to go and start writing some stuff for your site so people
have some things to read. Yes, yeah. Got a bunch of reviews.
I believe in you, sir. Tell people where they can find your site.
Justatad.wordpress.com.
And if they want to follow your many, many antics on Twitter.
Yeah, at Coreyatad, CoreyatAd.
And I'm Ryan McNeil. You can find my stuff at www.thematinee.ca. You can find my runnings around town at twitter.com/matinee_ca. And until next time, I'm Ryan for Corey, and we'll see you at the matinee. It's a wicked